Anybody want to guess why they're so unique? Nobody? Why are the pastoral epistles so unique? Different than any other books in the entire Bible. Kelvin? She was asking you what?
What you had asked.
Is the microphone not working? What makes them unique is there are passages in all three books making up, I can't remember, I think it's about 20% of the books that are specifically to pastors only. There's no other books like that in the New Testament or in the Old Testament for that matter. Which means when you're going through the books, you've got to be very careful to take things in context. That there might be verses that you're grabbing and saying, oh, that's a command, when it actually might not be a command to all Christians. It might just be a command to pastors. So that's what makes it a very unique set of books, those three books. And they're very fun, and there's so much learning. But tonight, as we conclude Colossians, what has been our theme? Christian growth, practical Christian living. And Paul finishes the book tonight by reminding us that we are not in this alone. Amen? That we're in it together. We are a family of God, and that we are to serve God. We're to fight the battles together. So beginning in verse 7 of Colossians chapter 4, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Marcus, sister, son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been of comfort unto me. Epaphras, which is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and then him Hierapolis, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. A salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be with you. Amen. So tonight our title is Fellow Servants. Fellow Servants. It's all one word in the Bible. Lord, I pray that you would teach us tonight and you would guide us in your will. You'd be glorified and we would listen and learn. Thank you and commit it to you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you search for the word fellow, if you put an asterisk on both sides, if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. It's called a wild card. In other words, you can find all words that either have fellow after something or fellow before something. That's what the asterisk is for. The highest concentration of words that have fellow as a root word is in this passage. How's that for some Bible trivia? And so in verse 7, he talks about fellow servants. In verse 10, he talks about fellow prisoners. In verse 11, he talks about fellow workers. So tonight, we're going to see again that we are in this together. So he starts off by talking about Tychicus, that he is a faithful minister. a faithful minister, as a fellow servant. That's our title tonight, a fellow servant. In other words, we're all servants together. And when you're serving others, you're serving God. That is how we primarily serve God, is by serving others, isn't it? And he is being held up by Paul as a faithful minister. We all are fellow servants in the Lord. If we're born again Christians, we're fellow servants. We're here to serve together. Look at Ephesians 2:19, if you would. Ephesians 2:19. The Bible says, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Fellow citizens there. We're fellow citizens. Look at Ephesians 3:6. The Bible says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. By the gospel, we're all fellow heirs. In other words, we all have the same inheritance in Jesus Christ. And God says that fellow servants should be faithful ministers. That word minister means to serve others, doesn't it? To minister to others, to be a help and a blessing to others. Romans 12:10 talks about this, if you would turn there quickly. Romans 12:10. It says, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." That's what fellow servants do. They prefer one another. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, we'll see it again. The Bible says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do," here in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Edify one another. Fellow servants are to edify one another because we're faithful ministers. And then, of course, Hebrews 10:24, very familiar passage. Turn there if you would. Hebrews 10:24. The Bible says, "Let us consider one another." So God says that these fellow servants are faithful ministers. We're to minister one to another by preferring one another, by teaching and admonishing one another, by edifying one another. And as we see here, consider one another to what? Provoke, or even to provoke one another. Not to anger or to a fight, but to love and to good works. And exhorting one another, goes on to say in verse 25. So the first thing we see tonight is we are all fellow servants. As fellow heirs and fellow citizens, we are fellow servants. We're here to serve together and to be faithful ministers one to another. Then the second thing we see, if you look in verse 8 of Colossians 4, is as fellow servants, we also are to comfort one another. Notice it says, "Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose," he's still talking about Tychicus, "that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." So he's still talking about the fellow servant Tychicus, who's not only a faithful minister, but he's a comfort to the brethren. And God wants this from you and I as well, that we would be a comfort to one another. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:23, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 23. The Bible says, "Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and," what? "Fellow helper." He's my fellow helper. "Concerning you or our brethren, be inquired of. They are the messengers of the churches and of the glory of Christ." So he says, Titus is my fellow helper. Titus is a blessing to me. So God wants us to be fellow servants, and he wants us to be fellow helpers, but he also wants us to be fellow prisoners. So what does that mean? Let's look at verse 9 of our passage. Now he switches. He's not talking about Tychicus anymore. Now he's talking about Onesimus. It says, "A faithful and beloved brother." So both of them, God used the word faithful. Did you get that? "Who is one of you, They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, so now we've got a third person, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. Now, I think Paul here is talking literal, that Paul was probably in prison again and Aristarchus was with him in the jail cell. But I think it's okay to spiritualize it a little bit and say that we're in this fight together, that we are fellow prisoners, that means that when one of us is suffering, we suffer with them. It's called empathy, isn't it? Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. That's empathy. And I think that's what he also means by this word fellow prisoner. He uses the word again in Romans 16:7 and talking about Andronicus and Junia. Just imagine Bible times having to pronounce everybody's name. My fellow prisoners, he calls them. And the Bible says we're to be forbearing of one another. But it also says again that we're to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. So not only are we fellow servants and fellow helpers, but we're fellow prisoners of one another. And then verse 11 of our passage, we're also fellow workers. Look at it, it says in Jesus, which is called justice. Most of the people whose name was Jesus, they changed their name for obvious reasons. who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. So this man, Justus, Paul calls him a fellow worker. Look at Romans 16:21, where Paul is closing out the book of Romans. And look what he says about Timothy. We already saw him talk about Titus. Now he's going to talk about Timothy, Romans 16:21. Timotheus, my what? Workfellow. My workfellow. Timothy works with me. He's my fellow worker. 1 Thessalonians 3:2, we'll see it again. Again, talking about Timothy. He says, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel. It says, Timothy was right there beside me, laboring with me. And he said that similar thing about Titus, which are the two men that we're going to be reading the books about in the next year or so. So God wants us to be fellow servants. Working together, fellow helpers, fellow prisoners, fellow workers. And in doing so, we're to be faithful. We're to minister to one another. We're to comfort one another. But verse 12 is my favorite. Talking about Epaphras. It says, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. We're talking about being a fellow laborer, fellow servant, fellow worker. Prayer is work, isn't it? God said so right here. Laboring fervently in prayer. Prayer is work. And as fellow workers, fellow laborers, fellow helpers, we're to be praying one for another. We're to be helping one another through the fight. You know, we're told to fight the good fight of faith. But look at Philippians 2:25. Just one last word here that God uses, which we haven't talked about yet, and that is the word fellow soldier. Fellow soldier, Philippians 2:25. It says, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier. Let's fight side by side. That's what he's saying. He called in Philemon, verse 2, he says the same of Archippus, that he's a fellow soldier. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, do we? But against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. against the rulers of the darkness of this world. God says we're fellow soldiers. And he finishes in verse 17. Let's turn there and we'll be done tonight. Colossians 4:17. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Amen? Finish it. Archippus, finish what God told you to do. We're fellow servants. We're fellow helpers. We're fellow prisoners. We're fellow workers and we're fellow soldiers. God says, finish it. Fulfill it. Amen? Be like Paul and get to the end and say, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that's what he's saying to Archippus. Don't quit. Fulfill what God called you to do. Be that faithful fellow servant, fellow helper, fellow prisoner, fellow worker, fellow soldier with your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all fellow servants. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and this reminder tonight that we're in this together. And we're to serve together and help one another and to fight together. And I pray, Lord, that you would just ingrain this in our walk and that we would strive to be, as Paul encouraged this last man, faithful to the end. Thank you for speaking to us. We love you in Jesus' name.